So today we will preach on the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20 from verse 1 to 20. And so if you still have your Bibles open to this chapter, and just keep it, and then let me read it out once again, and then we will have highlight some of the key points from this passage. So Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 to 20. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots, any army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Before you engage in battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the troops, and shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near to do battle against your enemies. Do not lose heart, or be afraid, or panic, or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory." Then the officials shall address the troops, saying, "Has anyone built a new house but not dedicated it? He should go back to his house, or he might die in the battle and another dedicate. Has anyone planted a vineyard but not yet enjoy its fruit? He should go back to his house, or he might die in the battle and another be first to enjoy its fruit. Has anyone become engaged to a woman but not yet married her? He should go back to his house, or he might die in the battle and another marry her." The officials shall continue to address the troops, saying, "Is anyone afraid or disheartened? He should go back to his house, or he might cause the heart of his comrades to melt like his own." When the officials have finished addressing the troops, then the commanders shall take charge of them. When you draw near to a town to fight against it, offer it terms of peace. If it accepts your terms of peace and surrenders to you, then all the people in it shall serve you at forced labor. If it does not submit to you peacefully, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God gives it into your hand, and you shall put all its males to the sword, you may, however, take as your booty and women, the children, livestock, and everything else in the town, all its spoil. You may enjoy the spoil of your enemies, which the Lord your God has given you. Thus you shall treat all the towns that are very far from you, which are not towns of the nations here. Verse 16. But as for the towns of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you must not let anything that breathes remain alive. You shall annihilate them, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded, so that they may not teach you to do all the abhorrent things that they do for their gods, and you thus sin against the Lord your God. Verse 19. If you besiege a town for a long time, making war against it in order to make it take it, you must not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. Although you may take food from them, you must not cut them down. Are trees in the field human beings that they should come under siege from you? You may destroy only the trees that you know do not produce food. You may cut them down for use in building siege works against the town and makes war with you until it falls. This passage basically talking about how to make war. What's the teaching about this passage? I think this is a very meaningful text because, you know, a lot of Christians, when they receive a instruction or a job from God, for example, you got a mission that God wants you to fulfill, and then we thought that this is everything, and then God left all the things to us, and then we do whatever we like. But in fact, it's not the way that we should think. We call ministry. We as a Christians, when we receive an order from our Lord, we also need to think very carefully that every step when we try to fulfill or accomplish that what God wants us to do, we should follow God's way to do the job. We can't just do it in our own way. This passage is very obvious to tell us about something like that. Now the people of the Israel, they got a message from God, and God said, "You guys, prepare for war." Okay, but in the beginning of this text, verse 1 to verse 9, we find a very special description how special it is. It's more or less like a contradicting passage. Right in the beginning, from verse 1 to verse 4, you can see that this is an encouragement that our Lord wants us to follow, stick with Him all the time, because this war is His war. He will fight for us. We no need to worry at all. So you just go with our Lord, and then He will fight for us. Don't be disheartened. But right after verse 1 to 4, and then we start to read it from verse 5 to 9, this is a totally different way to do it. It seems that from verse 5 to 9, God tried to tell the Israelites through the officials among them, saying that you better go home for certain criteria. Here lists out three criteria that the Israelites, they can go home without participating in the war. In the beginning, encouragement. Later half means a discouragement. What kind of passage? You know, a lot of people, when they read this passage, they say that, oh, there should be something wrong about the text. In fact, it's not. Because in these first 9 verses, our Lord wants to pick those people or dedicates His ministry only to those they have single-hearted to Him. God didn't want to have someone participate in His ministry at the same time you also try to seeking for your own benefit. Why now a lot of people, when they join a ministry, because they say that I enjoy it, this reason is already the wrong motive to show the person that when they join a ministry, they were only self-serving. So in this text, why God's starting from verse 5 to verse 9 to lay down these three criteria that those Israelites, they can go home and no need to serve in the army? Because if you still have the second heart minding your own business, and turns out this is not a proper way that you can join the ministry. God tries to avoid a double disaster among His people. We can just serving our Lord, at the same time we also serving our own. At the same time, just like in the New Testament, we have learned from the New Testament, every Christian, we should not have two hearts. At the same time we serve the world, and at the same time we serve the Lord. No way to doing that way. So the same idea here. Because if such kind of double-hearted person among the troop, what will happen? Obviously, in verse 8, state out the reason. Because in verse 8 said that the official shall continue to address the troop, saying, is anyone afraid or disheartened, he should go back to his house, or he might cause the heart of his comrades to melt like his own. Brother and sister, I don't know if you can make a comparison between two scenarios. The first scenario is a group of Christians, they serving Lord together, but in the middle of the difficulties or during the ministry, they face some difficulties. And someone suddenly pops up and say, we get better give up. This is one scenario. The other scenario is, you never have such kind of people among you when you have participated in the ministry. Which way is better? Very obvious. The later option is better. Those people better they stay away from the troop or the people they participating in the ministry, because if they will be there, that will cause a lot of discouragement. And turns out their own business cannot be accomplished and the God business cannot be accomplished. So here, this is exactly what the text wants to tell us. When we want to serve our Lord, make up your mind. We only have one single-hearted spirit to serve among our Lord. Otherwise, we can get a good ministry. So after this passage, and then we can see it from verse 10 up to verse 18. Now it's not preparing for the war. They need to have the real game now. Okay, they need to participate in the war actually. But why in the beginning? In verse 10, you can read like this. When you draw near to a town to fight against it, offer it terms of peace. Why? We have a war. A lot of Christians say that we participate in the ministry. So just do it. A war. So what's the meaning of war? Fighting. Killing the people. Why they don't go ahead to kill? God wants us to learn a very important lesson here. When we participate in His work, the most effective way to testify our Lord is through His will. What is the will of God? Is that war? Of course not. Our Lord didn't want to have any war at all. They want everybody can be in a harmonized term with Him. So our Lord want us to learn here. Even though in a war, during the wartime, it doesn't mean that you can go ahead to have your gun or with your knife and kill the people. This is not the way to do it. The best way to finish the war is through a term of peace. This is a way that we need to learn. We are not serving in our own way when we serve our Lord. We serve our Lord in our Lord's way. So that's why here, from verse 10 up to verse 18, try our best to learn how to have a good management to our desire and also how to obey our Lord. This is a kind of conflicting condition. When we see something we can do in our own way, in a much easier way, in a war, killing the people is much quicker, right? Now a lot of people, they want to have an atomic bomb, right? You know why? Because it's very easy. Just put a bomb there and all the people blow up and the land will be yours. But our Lord didn't want us to be like an outrageous person. He wants us to be a very self-disciplined person. Because our spirit should be conformed to our Lord's will. God didn't go do things outrageously. A lot of people, they said that our Lord like to kill the people in the Old Testament. In fact, it's not. It's not. You can see here. A peace term should be offered. So, even though when they really need to engage in the war, what is the first step? If those people can make a good term with you, the first step is not just go ahead to kill the people and burn the city. This is a common way in the Asian Near East era. No, you should not do it in that way. You should first of all to besiege the city. try to show the people in the town or in the city that you still looking for a term of peace. God is patient, and God wants us to be patient. Until the time that God also run out of his patience, and so that what God wants you to do, go ahead to finish the job. Okay, how to finish the job? Is that just go into the town and kill all the people? No, no. Here is the instruction. This town is not for your inheritance. It means that you will not living in this town. You just want them to follow God's steps. So this is a time that you do testimony. How? Just kill those males in verse 13. Just the males. But for the rest, including the women, the booty, the children, livestock, everything. But under God's permission, the phrase here, very important, is verse 14. God has given. When we see this word, only those things that the Lord gives to the Israelites, they can keep it. So you can see, the whole course of the warfare is still under God's management. The people of God, even though they participate in the war, they still need to follow in God's way. Not their own way. Not the other country's way. For the other countries, they just finish the land, burn it out. But no, this is not the way. Except one condition. When the land is for your inheritance, you need to get rid of all the animals, or people, because they have a big impact on your life. They will teach you how to do all the abhorrent things that will violate the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, different level of warfare here. If the tongue, the Lord just wants you to show that they, what kind of God that you believe, through your very self-disciplined activities, and then the people can see this is the Lord's people. They are not just like other people. They just came in and kill all. No, because the Lord. So their way to participate in the war is different. The way that they do war is totally different. This is a testimony that we need to learn about. The way that we do a good testimony is how we discipline our life to the people, showing the people that are around us. So that's why obedience is not only in the church, it should be inborn in our blood. It should be in our blood. Obey to the Lord in the place that you can be. You are in the school? Testify your obedience to the Lord. In your company, testify your obedience to the Lord in your office. Other people do something very unbelievable, very crazy thing. We didn't do it. In fact, you can do it, but why you don't do it? Because the Lord's way is different. This is the way that we testify our faith. The last portion, from verse 19 to 20, this is the last portion. In this portion, God not only wanted to show our testimony among the people, but also can show our testimony to our environment. Some of the commentators here said that from verse 19 to 20 should be used in so many like environmentalists. In fact, it's not. You know, in these two verses, show us well use of good God resources. When God provides us something that we can be used during the war, we need to think in God's way. If the trees can produce fruits that we can use as food, God allow us to use it. If those trees cannot bear fruits at all, you can cut it. But it's for the purpose of the warfare. Not just burn it make a lot of destruction. So one key word here, if you go back to this text, you see in verse 20, the Lord here said, you may destroy only the trees that you know do not produce food. You may cut them down for use in building sage works against the tongue that makes war with you until it falls. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people in the past, during the Old Testament period, when they have a warfare, they use a methodology. It means this methodology is called burning methodologies. In fact, this is not new. Even though now a lot of countries, they do the same thing. If you still remember when the United States tried to, invade Iraq. What the Iraqis, they have done. Even though I can't get that piece of land, I burn it all. So they try to light up all the oil pump and make a lot of fire in that area, in their own country. Why? I can't have it. You can have it too. This is the worldly way to do war. But our Lord said, no, don't cut all the trees. All the other nations, when they have war, they're doing it that way. No, you should not. You need to well use the resources. So to be summarized, this passage, brothers and sisters, what is a good testimony is not just doing some work and make the people happy or please the people and just show the difference. No, this should not be the way. Our Lord wants us to follow His way, give us the instructions, and then we follow through His instructions and testify that we are different. We are different not because we just try to be different. We are different because we follow God's instructions. This is the testimony that we should have. All Christians should be like that. To prepare our heart all the time. Self-discipline is very important as a Christian. When you notice all the people doing that way, you should not. Go back to the Lord. Lord, what is their way? Last week, I went to meet a pastor. The pastor told me something that right now he feels very difficult to pastor in a church. He told me that now if we ask the brother and sister or just let them to do the evil way in this world, their life will be much easier. If we instruct them to follow the Lord's way, most of the people will reject. This is the difficulty to pastor in the church now. I said, in what way or in what term? Can you tell me, give me some example? He said that very honestly. Now, if in your church, some brother and sister, they have financial problem, what is the best way to solve their problem if they have kids? The best way is encourage them to divorce. The world will encourage the people to divorce, right? Why not? Why the church don't encourage the people to divorce? If you are divorced, you know what turns out you will be treated by this so-called good welfare Canadian government. They have a lot of subsidies for your future life. If you are still in marriage, you can't have it. So it means divorce is better than not divorce. But this is the way that we should do in the church and also for those faithful people to the Lord. It should not be. But the temptation is there. How we can face those temptations. Very attractive. When you don't have food, what you can do? Do the evil way, the satanic way, or go back to the lost way. Let's have a prayer and wrap up this session of the sermon, and then we go back to the Chinese sermon, and then you will see that more details that we need to think through about this passage. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for giving us this time that we can to think with the brother and sister together about this text. Please help us. We are not perfect, and we need to know that through this passage, even though we have the mandate from you, we still need to have a disciplinary life. Otherwise, our testimony is just like other people. So please help us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.